A stereotype about Chinese people is we like to save up. The savings Chinese people keep in the banks were once considered as one of the pillars of the country's financial stability. But apparently, this stereotype is changing. It seems Chinese people are building up debt at an unprecedented rate. Yes, I wonder who's doing all the borrowing, because it's certainly not my parents. I don't even have a credit card. But yeah, China is a big country. Let's look at who's doing the borrowing.
Well, before looking at who's doing the borrowing, maybe we can also look at who's not doing saving as much. Actually, according to a speech in March by Yi Huiman, chairman of the board of directors, Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, the growth in China's household saving has slowed down from 16% in 2010 to 7.7% in 2017, meaning that in around 7 years, actually it dropped more than half percentage-wise. And in the same period, the household saving to disposable income ratio has dropped from 25.4% to 12.7%. And the distribution of saving is uneven. According to a report by Southwest University of Finance and Economists, 55% families barely have any savings. The top 10% wealthy households have up to 60% of their earnings, and that accounts for 74% of all savings in the country. That's basically saying rich people are doing a lot of savings, and not as rich people are not saving as much. They're spending all their money, or even they are borrowing, because meanwhile they are building up debt. Back in 1996, China's household leverage rate was 3%, and the so-called household leverage rate is actually the total household debt to the disposable income. So basically, if we're seeing 3%, it means that your household debt accounts for 3% of the disposable income. However, the figure reached 18% in 2008, and by 2017, the household leverage rate has reached 47.4%, which is really, really high. And these all give us an idea on why people are saving a little bit less and borrowing a little bit more, and that percentage grows really, really fast.
And I think there's been this reflects part of a philosophical change in how Chinese households approach the topic of debt. So there's an old saying, an old joke, that an American person will take out a loan to buy property and then spend their whole life paying back the mortgage. So for most of her life, she doesn't own her own house. The bank does. Whereas in China, someone will spend their entire life saving up enough money to then buy a house. So they still don't get to enjoy it until quite late in life.
Yeah, but that seems to be the philosophy that Chinese people used to hold. And after experiencing almost two decades, actually not that long time, probably, well, certainly more than one decade of rapid house price growth, the old philosophy seemed to be abandoned by most people.
And as is often the case in these discussions, young people are getting the blame. So there seems to be a bit of a move to blame young people for being reckless in their spending. So rather than saving up money, they're choosing to consume rather than invest in property.
Yes, that is something that young people tend to get the flack, and that's not just in China, I feel like. In the US, in the UK, when you sit down with grandpa and, you know, the older folks that have been through the aftermath of the Second World War, for example, and had to get food and rations and those kind of things. Yeah, your view on how to use money will be significantly changed as a result. And here, actually, I'd like to bring up the recession that happened in 2008 and 9. That was when we started to feel that, at least it started initially in the U.S. And now it's a decade later. Actually, I think the youth in the U.S., their views on how to use money has been significantly affected too.
I think so. And for example, in Australia, we would make young people are made fun of for buying takeaway coffees and having avocado toast for breakfast. And there's the idea that if they just had fewer takeaway coffees, they would be able to afford a deposit for a house. Now, I ran the numbers on that myself when I was back in Melbourne, and it's true. I could have put down a deposit on a house in just a decade as long as I cut the number of coffees I was drinking by about 20 a day. So yeah, it doesn't really add up.
Yeah. Oh, this is something that I think every one of us this affects us, but it's often like a small decision of buying a takeaway coffee or buying a house or something. Well, these are some of the things that everybody needs to make their own decision at some point in life. And now, as we're seeing this sort of a change in the trend in actually quite a large number of Chinese people and their attitude towards using money, some people are a little worried. Is debt not good in this regard?
Well, I think it's hard to say because we've already mentioned the housing debt part of the debt. That is because it is a really big chunk. It's like the lion's share of the debt for young people. And even though the mentality is gradually changing, still a lot of young people in China believes that in order to start a family, you need to have a house first, even though actually the majority of the house is owned by the bank, not you. You're paying for it, but you're using that house and you have that little certificate with your name and the house name on it. That is like a must have before starting a family. And that is why buying a house is still the number one thing young people would think about after like working for several years and thinking about starting a family. And when the house price is reasonably high, but really, really high, it is your only choice to actually make a loan to the bank and then start buying the house. So I would feel like if a young people's major debt is their housing debt, then it does not really count because they are just making the necessary purchase, at least in their personal mind. It's a necessary purchase that I have to do in this stage of my life. So I would not blame young people for having a wrong or different kind of consuming mentality. It's not about the it's not about them making a choice. It's more like they had to do something like this. My problem would rather go to those people who do not have a lot of money or do not earn a lot of money, but think that I am young and this is my prime year and I need to enjoy life. And in order to enjoy life, I need money. And even though I don't make as much money, I still need to enjoy my life because if 10 years later, I can have the same thing, but I won't feel the same. So I am going to borrow some money to enjoy them first. And later on, I can pay them back. But actually, they don't really have the ability to pay them back. And that is the mentality that I think is dangerous.
And that is certainly a problem if you've got a large group of people who are taking out loans that they can't afford to service. But I will come to the defense of young people. I used to be one once. And it's easy enough to say, well, they shouldn't be running out spending money on a brand new smartphone or going out for dinners and doing all those sorts of things. But there is a huge social expectation that's how people live nowadays. Mm. One of the other challenges, and I don't think it's easy to separate the issue of housing with the issue of general spending. It might have made sense, depending on where you're from, a couple of years ago or a couple of decades ago, to save a huge amount of your income to buy a house, because that was a realistic goal. If you saved and scrimped and tried hard enough, you could buy a house at the end of that process. The reality is, in a lot of cities in America, in Australia, and in China, that's just not going to happen because the house price is going up faster than your income and your ability to save. So if you're a young person and you've got your first job, you've got money coming in, on one hand, you've got maybe your seniors saying, you should be saving for a house. You're looking around you thinking, that is never going to happen if I'm in Beijing, Shanghai, Guangdong, or Melbourne or Sydney.
Yeah.
So should you try to reach that basically unachievable goal? Or should you be using the money you've got to buy other things? Because that also has a positive benefit on the economy. If you go out and watch a movie, buy a coffee, have avocado toast for breakfast, someone has to make that coffee. Someone has to make that breakfast. Someone has to sell you the ticket at the movie theater, clean the theater, make the movie. So it is contributing to the economy just in a different kind of way.
Yeah, but that's pure consumption. And after that coffee goes into the stomach, and then you know where it's going later on, and you flush it down the toilet, and then that's $3 gone forever. But so I think what you mentioned here, Carl, is really interesting. There's the is owning property of just forever gone dream now for young people. And actually, there's a lot of X factors to that, because we don't necessarily know. Oh, this is always a gamble, I suppose. If the housing price is going to plateau, go down a little bit or more, or what it's going to be. I mean, if you don't... Yeah, this is perplexing. Lots of young people have pretty much tied themselves to the house and their future to a house because we're afraid that the housing price is just going to rise even higher. And if you don't already have property in the family, then what are you going to do, right? And then there's also the maintaining or chasing after a particular lifestyle that's very much categorized, signified by that cup of Starbucks coffee. And... yeah, this is a tough one.
Yeah, and also, actually, I think a negative impact that someone having a huge loan or huge debt on themselves is that they stopped having this adventurous spirit. Because if you own the bank, like, let's say, several hundred yuan every day when you wake up, it's hard for you to quit your job and chase for your dream. You cannot do that. You cannot afford doing that. And that is, like, I feel like the most valuable virtue for young people, because when you start a family, you have that burden. It's hardly possible for you to actually start a business or something, and holding yourself to that debt is going to make you lose that virtue even earlier.
Although there was an interesting study done by Xinhua last year. So the news agency surveyed about 10,000 consumers across China, and they were asking them what their expectations for the future were. And something like 80% of people expected that their life would improve and their incomes would improve. So there's also, you know, the other side of it, that young people might be spending money now, but they're expecting that they will still be able to follow their dreams in the future because their quality of life will be continuing to improve. So they'll be able to pay off that debt and, you know, keep moving forward.
Yeah, that's a really... Well, I think that's a good, promising dream, but now we just don't know whether it's a dream or it's something that can come to fruition in 20 years' time or so. Because recently I've been looking at, there's a lot of reports and stories that come out of the U.S. After this is the 10th anniversary of the... recession, and a lot of young people that unfortunately graduated around 2009, they feel like they're forever left behind in the U.S. That because when you join the workforce at a really bad timing, couldn't find good jobs, or had, you see these bright young people that hold degrees in the history of art, literature, or even economics. And then they were serving coffee in coffee shops, and because that's the only jobs that are available. And after a couple of years of that, maybe they manage to find a job, but then you're competing with the new people that are being that graduate, and sometimes you don't get those jobs, and then you're just constantly sort of a couple of years, if not more, behind when it comes to pay rise and all kinds of things and progress in career. So this becomes that decade of people really struggling and trying to get out of the recession in the U.S. for some people, and their views on how to use money, especially saving, becomes very different from the decade people who graduated decades ago. That even for Americans, as you know, we have the terrible stereotype of them wanting to sort of spend ahead of time, they're also saving up.
America is an interesting case, though, because you know, people who might be, you know, in their 50s or 60s, they do have a very different view of the economy and of savings, but they also lived in a country with a very different economy.
Yeah.
So you can turn back to 2007, 2008 and look at the financial crisis and what's happened since then. But the reality is, in America, wages have not grown with the same pace of inflation for about 40 years now. So if you were born after the 1980s, you're really not, you know, relatively as well off as people before then. So this isn't a new phenomenon. That's something that that country in particular is dealing with, because wages have just not kept up. So households are
struggling.
They're really struggling. Yeah. And if they're looking at, for example, things like CEO pay, management pay, they're just falling constantly behind. So they are a little bit of a special case in that regard.
Yes. And as for China, actually, even though I have been giving negative comments for young people consuming their money and getting a loan, actually, a lot of young Chinese people are just using their credit card as a way of, it's just a way of living for them. For example, I have multiple credit cards, but I always pay them back the next month and pay full bill, because it's not like I really need to use my money in advance. I'm just postponing the paying bill process. That is kind of like a lifestyle. And also the internet, P2P service, and all the other service online nowadays, the financial service, are making it really easy for people to make a loan, and that is helping them to, in a way, postponing the paying bill process while enjoying the service in advance.
And I think one of the other things related to things like credit cards and the growth in debt is it's not always a bad thing. So if you look at a country like China, which is becoming increasingly wealthy, and social security is improving, and the availability of, you know, government services and support are increasing, people don't have to have the huge household savings they used to. You know, not so long ago, if you fell over and broke your leg, you had to make sure you had enough money to pay to go to the doctor and get it fixed, because the social security system wasn't as advanced. Nowadays, social security has improved, the health system's improved, and the ability to access credit when it's required goes up. So people save less, but that means they're spending that money in the economy, which is good for domestic consumption, which is good at growing China's domestic economy.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. And actually, we have seen that borrowing has been so much easier in recent decades as in the past. Well, before the age of credit cards, which has really never been as huge here in China as opposed to Western countries, that you had to borrow from family members or friends, and that could sometimes break a family. But now, increasingly, I think individuals can conduct these businesses in their own, and we've seen that the growth of credit cards in China has gone up from 90 million to 470 million in the last decade. So it's quite interesting to see that this kind of consume first, pay later kind of mentality has really taken off here in China. But as we always say here on Roundtable, please do things in moderation. And yeah, we don't really condone the gambling spirit. And yes, who knows about the future? We hope it's a good one, a bright one.